Well, good morning again. Good morning. Wow, that was vibrant. We're so excited to celebrate Christmas with you guys and this season and enjoy God's presence together. Amen? Amen. Amen. We don't take that for granted. We don't take that for granted. I was just having a conversation with someone this last week about kind of the intentionality that we do at our house to invite the presence of the Lord in our home. We're intentional, because sometimes, anyone ever had a bad attitude? No. Okay, some of you have. Yeah. I've ran into some of them. Yeah. And our flesh can get the best of us, and we can, the Bible says, give the devil no foothold. Sometimes the devil can get a foothold. You ever walk into a room and you're just like, ugh, yuck, what's going on in here? Well, we want to be in our home. I'm just saying a conversation that I had in the last couple of weeks. We're really intentional about our home. We're human. Everyone's going to have scuffles and, whatever, and bad days and whatever. But we try to be really intentional about, in the midst of our humanness, inviting the grace of God and the presence of God. So we keep Christian music playing almost all the time. We try to make sure that our hearts are right with one another before we go to bed and not let things drag out for days and whatever. And I just want to just reiterate what Stephen was saying this morning about the presence of God and about changing atmospheres. And that just was really resonating with me. And we've had, and I can tell you specific times, this isn't just a general thing, but specific times where people have needed to come out and talk to us, and they're filled with anxiety. They're just like, they're barely holding it together. And there's nothing special about our home. It's just me and Marnie and some kids. There's nothing unique about it, except for we're intentional about letting God be welcome in our home and letting our hearts be receptive to that and having worship playing and being salt and light, right? And I just was sharing this with someone more than once, a couple times that I can specifically remember, that when people have walked into our house, they've been struggling for, hours, sometimes days, and can't handle it anymore. And can I come out to the house? I know you're not at church, but can we come out to the house? And they've walked into our house and they went, it just broke. It just left. Struggled with this for days because it's the peace of God. And the presence of Jesus just breaks us. There's nothing special about us. Well, you're the pastor. That's just a position. I have the same grace on my life that you have on yours, and you can have the same presence in your home that we have in ours and at this church as we worship, but we're intentional about that. So that was just sticking in my mind. I wanted to just kind of reiterate that because it was a conversation that I just had recently, and that's really important about changing atmospheres. Yeah, keep your hearts tender. Keep worshiping Jesus. What's in a name? We've talked about this for a couple weeks, and we shared last week. Does anyone remember? And he shall be called Wonderful. Got to plug in the thing for the thing. Come on, Pastor, what are we doing here? This is Isaiah 9:6. This is actually 2:6. This is a verse that was written almost 700 years before Jesus, and it's a prophecy about Jesus. And so this is our verse from last time. The people walking in darkness, and isn't there darkness in 2024? Amen. They've seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So last time we talked about Wonderful, and the way that we use it in 2024 is like, oh, Linda, that note from you was wonderful. Aw, Holly, those treats were wonderful, and they were wonderful. And that's how we use that word. But the more biblical, this is a review from last time, but the more biblical usage of that Hebrew word is this right here. It's like, whoa, I don't even know how to put words to that. It's kind of defies explanation. That's what wonderful means. Mind-blowing, absolutely. We talked about the butterfly wings that aren't colored. We talked about the solar system. If the galaxy, and Tom has a background in astronomy. If he would have been here last week, he would have said, sit down. You're getting this so wrong. Let me tell you how this is. But I said, and I'm just quoting because we're just doing rough math, but if the galaxy was roughly the size of the continent of North America, our solar system would fit in the coffee cup. And so we just talked about how we just can't even understand how mind-blowingly that's just our galaxy, right? We just kind of went on and on about that wonder. It's the wonder of God creating these things. And so he shall be called wonderful. A new slide I didn't have last time from David Guzik. The glory of who he is and what he has done should fill us with what? Wonder. You can never really look at Jesus, really know him, and be bored. He is wonderful and will fill your heart and mind with amazement. And the last slide from last week, this was my favorite quote from Adrian Rogers last week. When was the last time the name of Jesus caused you to marvel? Do you stand in awe of the name of Jesus Christ, or have you become cool, apathetic, ho-hum, and oblivious? Do you not get excited when you think of the name of Jesus? If not, you've lost the wonder. You have calluses on your soul. Talk about exfoliation. I don't want to have calluses on my soul. We had the conversation that most guys do over Christmas break about exfoliation yesterday. For real. We actually really did. And some of you are saying, I'm not listening to any more of this message because that's weird. But if I have calluses on my soul, I want my soul to be soft and tender to Jesus, right? I want to be, and that was kind of how we ended last week. We want to be filled with wonder and awe. Whoa, right? And that's the attitude we want to carry because God is so big. And when we start looking for that, that's what we start seeing. So moving on this week, and he will be called Wonderful. What's the next one? Counselor. What do you think of when you think of a counselor? Really? What else? AA, yeah, like a dependency counselor, yep. Anything else? Listener, yep. Yeah. Help, yep. Yeah, there's all these kind of things. And if I'm going to be honest, I don't know. I don't think of Christ in that way. That isn't the title that I would put on him. But as we get into this message more and more, you're going to see how powerful and how appropriate that really is. And there's all kinds of counselors. There's financial counselors, guidance counselors. You guys have guidance counselors in your schools when you were young? Marriage and family counselors, legal counselors, career counselors, substance abuse counselors, mental health counselors. That's just a short list. There's, I'm sure, many, many, many more. And they work with us to help us out. So that word counsel means to advise, pretty obvious here, but to give counsel, to guide, to devise, to plan. And a guy by the name of Kenneth Hemphill says this: we have plenty of counselors today. I'm going to just pause there a second. Just turn back to me for just a second here. We'll finish reading that. But there is a myriad, there is a plethora, there is an abundance of counselors in 2024. Everyone has decided in the last 10 years that it's okay for me to tell you exactly what you should do. And I don't mean me as the pastor. I mean me as general humanity, right? If you've been out there in the world, have you ever gotten it? Let's do this. See if we can get a response out of this. Has anyone in the last year gotten an unsolicited opinion? Someone has decided that they should share with you a piece of information about how you should or shouldn't run your life that you did not ask for. Has anyone ever looked in the comments section on a YouTube video or a Facebook post? It is the most dangerous place to be in the year 2024, moving into 2025. And it's scary. And people have decided that it's okay for me to tell you anything and everything with whatever tone that I feel like I've got in my pocket in the moment, that's an okay tone to use, and that I'm probably absolutely for sure right, and you're just probably for sure clueless or dumb. And that's kind of the default position. None of you guys operate that way, but we're just talking about society today. There's counselors everywhere. There's never been more information available. We were just talking, reminiscing over Christmas break, kind of just about, you know, past Christmases and what it was like growing up and some advantage, many, 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 many advantages, and some, you know, you weren't as connected in some ways, but gosh, because everyone's connected now, you can just get opinions on everything all the time, everywhere. There's counsel just coming at you, lots of voices, and that can just get hard to process. So let's go on here. We seem to have plenty of counselors today, Kenneth says. We have both the secular and the Christian varieties, the paid and the unpaid, the good and the bad, the invited and the uninvited. It seems like everyone has a solution to our problems, even if they can't solve their own. A good counselor will listen, empathize, and point the way to healing, perfectly balancing grace and truth. I just thought that was a neat way of kind of summing it up. And here's the weird fact about humans. Because God designed us for community, we're wired to listen to others. Just go out and look at the rest of nature, and you don't see flowers looking up going, is this high enough? Is it too high or too low? What do you think? Pink enough? You don't see the deer gathering out. You do see them gathering, but you don't see them gathering going, we eating hay, oats, straw, what are we going after berries today? What time should we meet? Right? Humans, because God is communal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is community. God Himself is community. He's triune. There's one, but there's three, right? That's the mystery of the Trinity. And so God is communal. We're made in His image. We were made at least to have fellowship with God, right? Walked with Adam in the cool of the day. There was interaction. God wanted to see what Adam would name the animals, right? There was this give and take, creator and creature. And so then came Eve, and then came the rest of the creation. And in this human community, we were built to interact and not just instinctually be together as a herd. We were built to design our world together, because you have certain gifts and I have certain gifts, and we can collectively bring our lives together. But in order to do that, I have to listen to your opinion. You have to listen to my opinion, right? So we're just wired. We're wired for counsel. Does that make sense? We're wired for counsel. The problem with that is there's a lot of bad counsel. But we're wired for counsel. And so this is really common if you've ever been on social media or on the internet at all. You'll hear things like, hey, don't worry about the naysayers, the haters. Don't listen to the haters, right? You do you and don't listen to anybody else. The problem with that is if you do that, you're actually listening to counsel. Don't listen to any counsel, which is by default listening to counsel. Do you see what I mean? You can't escape it. You cannot escape the fact that we are taking in input. We're wired that way. So we've got to be so careful. And I didn't have enough rooms in my slides, but wanted to bring in the wisdom of Solomon and how much he talked to his kids about, hey, son, listen, be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're with, because he didn't say this necessarily in the Psalms, but you're by default wired to take input as a human. You're made in the image of the Lord. There's this give and take, this exchange that's happening. So you've got to be really careful what kind of counsel you're taking in, because you will take in counsel. Unless you're ultra stubborn, then you're taking in really bad counsel from yourself. So, Charles Spurgeon, you gotta love that guy. And this was so poignant, so profound, I thought. A couple slides by him. He said, it was by a counselor that this world was ruined. Oh, never thought, because Adam and Eve, made in God's image, built to take counsel, but took the wrong counsel. We never go a step back and go, oh, we're wired for this. that was kind of my aha moment. And every message has at least one or 200 aha moments. That was one of my aha moments is, wait a minute, we're wired, we're built, we can't not take counsel. So we've got to figure out who we're taking counsel from. He said, did not Satan mask himself in the serpent and counsel the woman with exceeding craftiness that she should take unto herself the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the hope that thereby she should be as God? That was some bad counsel. In case you don't know the story, it's in Genesis. Was it, he goes on to say, was it not that evil counsel which provoked our mother to rebel against her maker? And did it not, as the effect of sin, bring death into the world with all its train of woe? Ah, beloved, it was meet that the world should have a counselor to restore it if it had a counselor to destroy it. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. Say counselor. Counselor. I love that last line. That the world should have a counselor to restore it. That's what Jesus came to do, if it had a counselor to destroy it. Satan counseled destruction. And Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, said he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He's going to give counsel to unravel the bad counsel that was given in the beginning that caused this whole thing to unravel. I love the, it was meet. I had to look that up. I think this is a phrase that we should bring back. It means it was appropriate, or it was right, or it was good. It was meat. I think all the kids today should be saying, oh, that's meat. If that becomes a U.S. trend, remember, it started here. Kaufman says, he's a commentator, he says, Jesus is the only counselor who ever had the words of eternal life. His counsel alone is truthfully described as the light of the world. His counsel will judge men at the last day. The counsel of the Son of God is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Christ's word abideth forever. A single line of teaching from this counselor is more valuable than libraries stacked full of the books of human wisdom. Can we read that last paragraph again? A single line of teaching from this counselor is more valuable than libraries stacked full of the books of human wisdom. Another Charles Spurgeon, if you got it in you. Christ is the counselor whom I desire to consult every hour. And would that I could. That's maybe another phrase that we should bring back. Would that I could. Would that I could sit in his secret chamber all day and all night long. Because to counsel with him is to have sweet counsel, hearty counsel, and wise counsel all at the same time. We go to Christ to get and we get wisdom, we get love, we get sympathy, and we get everything that can possibly be wanted in a counselor. Making the point that you're gonna get counsel. You're gonna receive counsel because you're built to do that. Number two, this whole nasty thing started with bad counsel. Satan said, hey, look at this tree, yada, yada, and on it went. And sin was born, and humanity fell. And then Jesus came as the counselor to restore and to bring life. And so now we get to come to Jesus as our counselor. So why do we go? Why do we need a counselor? Why do we go to counselors? I'm going to give you some reasons today, kind of the second half of this message. And these are not all the reasons by far, but these are just some reasons. I was talking with Marnie and Shauna. We were kind of just hashing out some of these. And these are some that I thought of. And we'll kind of close up with some more words about Jesus. But why do we see counselors? Number one, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what, and I use that phrase a lot, Only when you get old enough to know that do you get scared of that. When you're younger, this doesn't even bother you because you don't know what you don't know, right? So Donald Rumsfeld says, there are known things, things we know, and there are known unknowns, things we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know, we don't know. So it's like this, I know that my wife is amazing and beautiful and compassionate and gifted and on and on and on and go. I know that I know unless there's something weird that comes up, we're going to have Christmas together with the concerts. There's going to be Luke chapter 2 read, right? I know the things that I know them, maybe don't know them fully. I know that I know how to make an omelet. right? Maybe I can improve on that, but I know how to do it. And there's things that I know that I don't know. I know that I don't know very much at all about women's beauty products and care routines. Like, I don't know what an eyeliner is different than a mascara and a, was there a foundation? Foundations are something that's under a building. I don't know. There's all these weird terms, or accessorizing, or I know that I don't know really anything about accounting. I mean, there's some columns, and that beyond that, it gets pretty fuzzy for me. I know that I don't know anything about lawyering, really. We've met with some lawyers over the years, but it's all this, what the way they speak, it sounds like King James to me. I just don't get it. But I know that I don't know that. It's the things that I don't know that I don't know that scares me. Because there's keys to my success, but I don't even know that I don't know them. So I can't go to the library, or I guess online these days. I can't Google the things that, hey, Google, what don't I know that I don't know? There's no app for that. And that's where we get stuck, is the don't knowing the things that we don't know. So sometimes we go to counselors because they know things that we don't know. They can help us. Oh, you don't know that if you would do this, and you're like, oh, that's what I didn't know. I don't know how to do that yet, but now it's a known thing that I don't know. It's funny words, but you get that? It's the not knowing the not knowing is the problem. What many, James L. Snyder says, what many people do not understand is the unknown unknowns can and do sabotage our lives. It's the arrogance of a fool who believes he knows everything and therefore qualifies him for making all the decisions in his life and that of others around him. A.W. Tozer says, why is it that man with drastically limited wisdom insists on making all the decisions in his life when a good portion of the time he is wrong? And all the women said amen. And it's not really talking about a man. It's talking about mankind. So we don't know what we don't know. And that often is the biggest hang-up. It's those moments that you as a pastor, often when Marnie and I are sitting and sharing things, it's that aha moment. Because they didn't know that they didn't know that. And we'll be sitting and we'll be kind of talking through things. And they'll stop you and they'll go, what'd you say? And we'll kind of repeat what we were talking about. And they'll look at each other, or if it's just one person, they'll be like, wait, what? Wait, that's a thing? Yeah, that's a thing. For instance, guys, the nothing box. Guys are compartmentally thinking, and our goal at the end of the day is to get to the nothing box. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to that he's a therapist and a relational therapist and whatever. He talks about how we're compartmentalized. How sorry, not to get on a rabbit trail. I thought there would be a lot more. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys are giving me the same look that people do when we talk about this. So his analogy is that women have compartments, boxes, we call them. So we reference this all the time. Marnie will ask me, what box are you in right now? Can I talk to you? Because she knows, because guys, the cardinal rule of a guy, you got two rules. Number one, the goal, I guess a rule and a goal. The goal is to get to the nothing box. And women can't conceive of this because we're thinking about nothing. Right. And all the guys are like, oh yeah, the happy place, right? And so women will be like, what are you thinking about right now? Nothing. Don't you lie to me. No, I've been working all day to get here. Come on, just tell me. I won't laugh at you. Nothing. Oh, are you scared? No, nothing. And we women, apparently, I don't know, but can't conceive of a nothing box. So that's our goal. But the rule that goes along with the goal, but the rule is one box at a time. All the guys went, well, there is no other way. Right. We can only focus that we are not multitaskers. And if you do, it's just, I don't know, it's muscle memory or something, but there's only one, but we focus on one thing at a time. I get this is generalities, but rings pretty true across humankind. And women, the analogy that they use is spaghetti brain. Women have spaghetti brain. So we don't understand this, but his analogy is, hey, honey, how was your meeting with Lisa? And you should go, oh, well, we talked about this, but oh, it was terrible. What happened? Well, nothing in the conversation, but that's connected to another thought. Because earlier in the day, Sally messaged me and texted me, which that thought leads to another thought. And if you, and this was very helpful for me as a guy, if you don't let the women get all the way through the spaghetti train, the thought's left unfinished. But it's 23 layers deep. And that's not bad. That's just how your brains are white, and everything's connected to everything else. Guys, we want to close off the box, lock the door. All right, now I'll move over and I'll open a new box. Listen, if you want to talk about my meeting with Dave, I've got to fully close the box and where I'm thinking about my project tonight. Close that box. Dust it off. All right. Now I can tell you about Dave, right? So we're being a little bit funny, but they have where you map the brain and showing the electrical impulses of women's brains, and there's a physiological difference. And when you bring up subjects with man and bring up, well, woman's brain is like ping, 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 ping. Guys' brains is like one spot. Go look it up. That's really true. And that's how we're created, and that's why we need each other. That's why we need each other. God looked at Adam, he said, it's not good that man be alone. Oh yeah, we were talking about counseling, weren't we? So the second reason that we need a counselor, we need perspective. You ever heard that phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees? Sometimes we get so dialed in on something, and I'm so good at that. I can just obsess about the minutiae of something for weeks. And finally, Marnie will grab me and she'll pull me physically back. She's like, step back. You are so stuck on how big the one piece of the one thing, you're missing the whole point of everything. And I know that about me, and she's very helpful for that. But that's what a counselor can do. Like, you can't see anything else anymore because you're so immersed. But she said this, hey, just take a step back. Get a bigger picture. And a counselor can help you do that, can pull you back to see more of what's actually going on. More of the, anyone ever been stuck in the tunnel vision before? But I've got to fix this one thing. Oh, what's really important? Take a step back. Look at the bigger picture. And hopefully we have people in our life that can do that. Why do we need a counselor? Processing tools. Tools of which I had almost none to process life. I did not have a good set of processing tools. I just kind of blunt force traumaed my way through life, right? And, you know, I would either be okay or I'd get mad. Like, that was my, there wasn't any nuance to my life. It was just switch on, switch off. Like, there's a problem. Okay, we're going to power our way through this. Through? Okay, off. Well, back to being whatever I am. I didn't have any tools to process life and to critically think through things and work through things. And what kind of things? Well, counselors can help us work through grief. Better than someone saying just, hey, get over it, right? They can help you process those different stages, help you work through trauma, help you work through loss, help you work through emotions that are just really crazy, help you work through anxiety. Well, just don't be, right? Just be calm. Sometimes it's not that simple. You need a process to help the humanity of us, help our soul get in the right spot. Help us work through relationship issues, right? Marriage counselors, family counselors. We've got friends that have had incredible success going to counselors, and the counselor's able to help them process some of the real issues in ways that they didn't have the tools to do that. And the counselor's not magic. He knows some of the way things work that he can help you, and then they go, oh, yeah, we could do that. Yeah, go whichever way you want. It's fine. Stay with mama. She loves you. What else do we go to counselors for? External processing. Have you guys ever been so wrapped up, and I talk about this a lot because it's me, so you guys have heard this 100 times already, but have you ever been just so just worked up about something or stuck on something or obsessed about something, or and you just need to talk it through with someone, and someone comes in and they're like, "Well, hey, what's going? Wow, you look just look like you're really look like you're really struggling through. Where does this kid go? I don't know. Look like you're really struggling through something." And so you start telling someone what your problem is. Let me tell you, Jim, boy, this daughter of yours. And right. And so you're going to just, and you start saying it out loud and you hear yourself, your ears hear what your mouth is saying. And somewhere in there, your brain does not work. But when you say it out loud, your ears hear it and your ears are like, "Dude, brain, hey, I just heard something. That's pretty interesting." But inside of you, it doesn't always get connected. And so it's called external processing. And so often when people start saying things out loud, often this happens with me. And I'll say, "Oh, Shelly, I'm going to tell you about how bad my day was," right? And you just kind of put it out there. And halfway through, you're like, "Oh, never mind. I know. I just," like, you just know. You're like, "I got it. That was dumb. I shouldn't have done it." Okay. Like, it just makes sense because you got to say it out loud. Sometimes don't get stuck in your own head, right? Have people that you can process through things with. External processing we go to counselors for. Sometimes we get paralyzed. We're not sure what to do next. Anyone ever just been immobilized? I don't know what decision to make. And it can feel like darkness. And I love that our verse talks about in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. A light has dawned. And then someone comes along and they're like, and you think you've thought through every scenario. Someone comes along and they're like, "Why don't you flip that switch?" And you're like, "George." It feels like light. And you're like, "Oh, why did I not see that?" And it wasn't that I didn't have the right process, but I got paralyzed. I'm like, I don't know what to do next. Counselors can help you through that. Or you get stuck, you can't move forward. Maybe you know the right thing you should do or whatever, but you're just, it kind of sounds the same as paralyzed, but getting paralyzed, you're just in the dark. I don't know what to do. Stuck, I can't do it. I know the path I need to be on, but I'm stuck. And a counselor can help baby step your way through what you need to be doing next. Maybe you know the process you need to do. It's none of these other things. You've got good perspective on it, but you're just stuck. You're just stuck. You need someone to hold your hand and kind of help you walk through this. A counselor can do that. And the last one is not understanding what's really important, what really matters. And that kind of goes along with some of the other ones. But in the light of Christ, in the light of Jesus being our counselor, I love when he came out, his very first sermon, he starts talking about the upside down kingdom of God. Hey, if you want to be first, and I know you do because you have that desire in you because you're human, if you want to be first, be last. If you want to be exalted, which I know you do because you're human, then be the lowest. Because if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. God will lift you up. And he starts talking about, I know there's desires in you to have a thriving life. This makarios is the Greek word, this thriving, abundantly good life. I know you want that. Let me tell you how to get that. And it's not what you think it is. And the things that you think are important, he says, I'm going to have streets of gold. You know what I do with my gold? The thing that you consider really valuable? I pave the streets with it. That's what you would use dirt and tar for. We use gold for that because there's so much more that's valuable. He teaches us as our counselor to put the right value on things. He teaches us as our counselor how to have perspective. He teaches us as our counselor how to manage our emotions. He teaches us as our counselor what's really valuable in life. Pastor Fearing used to quote this all the time, but D.L. Moody said, our greatest fear should not be fear of failure, but of fear of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. Isn't that so powerful? And that's what a real counselor, a good counselor will do. He'll help you to see what's really important. You're focused on this. I'll give you some perspective, but ultimately, I'm going to help you change your values. I'm going to help you value the things that are important. And that's what Christ did. Hey, you guys, you're on a train wreck of self. And so you're trying to solve all these problems, but you're missing everything that's important. It's about a surrendered life to me. And then you'll see the results that you're looking for. You'll see the peace that you're longing for. You'll see the hope that you're lacking. You'll see the solidity of Jesus Christ in your life. Let me change your values. Ray Pritchard said this, Jesus is a reliable counselor. Those who come to him will never be led astray. He is therefore the perfect teacher and the ultimate counselor. This gives us insight into his working. His plans are not our plans. His ways are not our ways. As the wonderful counselor, he gives wholesome direction to his people. Those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but in the blazing light of day. This is our last slide for today. Adrian Rogers, I had a quote from him last week. He said, some of you this Christmas, you're floundering about like a ship without a sail. Without a sail and a rudder on a dark and stormy night. You don't know the will of God. Don't you think it's about time you let Jesus, the counselor, take over your life? His name is Counselor. And there's all those things that we get hung up on that we need counselors for in our normal human life. How much more the counselor? To give us perspective, to help us get unstuck, to help us to see what's really valuable. To help us have the tools to go through life. And that's his word. He is the word of God. Jesus is our counselor. And as I was studying through this, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry that I never saw you. Like, wow, what a beautiful thing. Not only is he a counselor, church, finish up with this. Not only is he a counselor, if you were here last time, he's a wonderful counselor. Not only does he counsel us, he's a blow your mind with how intricate, amazing, and good he is. How powerful and other he is. How holy he is. He's our counselor. Today, church, you need a counselor. You need a counselor. You are wired for counsel. Get counsel from the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, for the warm temperatures, and we just pray, God, that each and every one of us would just, coming into this new year, that we would take a brand new outlook on your word and your counsel, and that we would value your counsel above our own, above anyone else's, that the word of God would be preeminent in our life, Lord, and that you would help us to sidestep all the obstacles because we're listening to the counselor. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our counselor. And we just pray this all in your name today. Amen.